I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for murders that defy explanation, mystery seeking exploration, and shocking secrets that will leave you breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tailgate.
It's time for the tailgate.
Toss me a cold one. Nothing better than a 7 a.m. beer and an unbrushed mouth.
Your official weekend destination for all things football.
You are looking live.
The granddaddy
of them all.
NCAA.
Here's the snap back. Beck looks, throws it down the field, and it is intercepted by Indiana.
NFL.
Caught! Touchdown! Touchdown! Chicago has caught a touchdown pass! Cole Kmet, if you hadn't seen it, you would not believe it!
And now, it's time to kick off the tailgate with your host, Paul Pabst.
You ready, champ?
I'm ready for this my whole life.
On 104.3, The Score, and live on the Odyssey app.
Welcome to the tailgate, 670 The Score, and 104.3 FM The Score. I love it. First time in studio in thick and rich FM signal. Grew up on 670 The Score, going to the back half with 104.3 FM. This is fantastic. I'm Paul Pabst. This is the tailgate, the best 7 a.m. Saturday morning college and pro football show in all of Chicago. We're huge in Glenwood. We're huge in Rockford. A lot to go to today. We're going to talk post-Super Bowl, what a season this was. If I told you back in August it would be Patriots versus Seahawks, if I told you Indiana Hoosiers would win the national title and have the Heisman winner, we're going to get to that. Coming up today, we're going to recap the Super Bowl. Kind of like the fallout from it, not the game itself. Maybe a little bit on the game itself. And of course, we're going to go deep dive into the Bears offseason. I thought last year was a great offseason. This one, maybe a little less to do, but more focused. And a bit on the never-ending Bears stadium issue. Plus your calls. Phones are wide open, Bears fans. I want to hear from you. 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. You know the number at The Score. Call in. Your questions about the offseason, your concerns about the offseason, your hopes for the Bears, and maybe even other teams in the NFC North. All right, 670 The Score, 104.3 FM. This is the tailgate. Again, if I told you in August, when we started this show, Tyler Farengel's here with me. He was on the first show back in late August here on The Score. And Tyler, if I told anyone back in August that the Indiana Hoosiers would win the national title and have the Heisman winner, you'd say no chance, no chance at all. If I told you that your Super Bowl winning quarterback would be Sam Darnold, you'd be like, I can't see that. Seattle's a nice team. Sam Darnold's a nice quarterback. But nobody had that on their bingo card in August. Now, I don't remember my exact picks of the Super Bowl, Tyler, but I think I had probably one of those two teams.
Would you like to revisit them? Because I actually have your 2025 Super Bowl pick.
We can move on. We got a lot to get to. I don't know if we have time. You have it ready.
I do have it ready for you. You want to hear them?
You're one of those good producers that has audio. Yeah, this is my Super Bowl pick?
Super Bowl pick for 2025.
Okay, this is September 6th, right before the season started. Here we go.
Here's my Super Bowl pick. I have, for the second year in a row, wishful picking. I have the Detroit Lions over the Buffalo Bills. I think the Detroit Lions remind me of the Bulls in the 90s. Remember when they couldn't get past the Detroit Pistons and then they learned how to win? I think the Lions the past 2 years got close, and I think they've learned how to win. Now, the big deal is they lost two coordinators, and that is tough. But if you could get Bills versus Lions in the Super Bowl, that's like Cubs-Indians 2016.
Not good. Thanks for bringing that up, Ty. Bills, I felt pretty good about. The Lions, I felt great about. 2 years ago, the Lions were really close to the Super Bowl. And then last year, a little further away. And this year, they don't even make the playoffs. Like, if I'm a Lions fan, I'm concerned. I don't feel that bad about that Super Bowl pick because at the time, in late August, early September, that felt probably a little safe, probably a little gutsy. But can you imagine if somebody would have picked the Super Bowl being Seahawks versus the Patriots? I think Patriots 4 wins last year.
I would love to know what the betting odds were that preseason.
Right. Who picked that? No one normal would pick that. I mean, you'd have to be a Patriots supporter or Patriots media. You know, the Patriots get in the Super Bowl, it felt too early. Maybe a little bit like the Bears this year, a little flying too close to the sun. But the Patriots got there with a really easy schedule. And in the playoffs, they faced a few quarterbacks that maybe shouldn't have been there. And then the Seahawks got Sam Darnold. We're going to talk a lot about him, but we're going to break down the Super Bowl, what it means, the fallout, and get to what the Bears did. All right, 104.3 FM. I'm Paul Papps. This is The Tailgate. Take a minute on the lead this week in Chicago. Being back in town, I look over to my left. The sun is coming up, and there's Soldier Field in the distance. And every time I drive down Lakeshore Drive, go visit Mom out in Orland, and I drive back towards Soldier Field, I get a little angry. So we're going to talk a little about the stadium issues. But the lead this week in Chicago, clearly with the Bears season being over, and it's been over for a few weeks, Cubs and Sox getting ready for spring training. I think Bruce Levine's out there right now. Cubs morale is high, really high. You know, they finished last year, could have had it, made it to, you know, deeper in the playoffs, really great series against the Brewers. But they're in a really winnable NL Central. And it feels like the Brewers, and again, I'm going to go to Bruce and Inside the Clubhouse with David Hall coming up in a little bit. I want to know what they think of the Brewers as much as they think of the Cubs. Bringing in Alex Bregman's great for the Cubs. Thought they were going to bring him in last year. Losing Kyle Tucker, I don't see too many people crying in Chicago about losing Kyle Tucker. I think he was a really good player in the first half of the year, a solid injured player in the second half, and he got $60 million a year. The White Sox, again, I looked at the odds. I was listening to Mully and Hall the other day, and Mully was talking about his Sox. And he said that, you know, every year, a little closer, a little closer. They don't have them predicted to lose 100 games, maybe losing 92. But again, that's a team that's slowly building up. They don't have that superstar on the roster yet. The other topic in Chicago this week, before we get back to football, is the Chicago Bulls. And the Chicago Bulls have lived in no man's land for the past 5 years. They're not really good, and they're not really bad. And that's the worst position to be in, if you're in, especially in the NBA. Because if you stink, you get a chance to get a Cooper Flagg. You get a chance to get Victor Wembanyama. The Bulls haven't stunk or stunk bad enough. So they trade a lot of people. They revamp their roster. It's one of those soft tanks that we talk about. And I was listening to David Hall the other day, and it's not palatable. It's not fun to look at your local team that's right down the street that you go to games with the Chicago Bulls and say, they're not trying to win the rest of the season. But join the club. Look at the Utah Jazz. Utah Jazz, they set healthy starters in the fourth quarter of a three-point game. So the Bulls are in this no man's land, but if they can get a really good draft pick in the lottery, that's what they need to spur this up. Bezelis, really good player, developing well. And if you look what happened with the Dallas Mavericks, they get Cooper Flagg. The Dallas Mavericks were like a game and a half away from making the play-in game of the playoffs. Instead, they're in the lottery. They stumble in the number one pick and get Cooper Flagg. And you know that's kind of what's going on in Chicago. And bonus coverage, my DePaul Blue Demons, who I love so much, having a nice season. Doing well in the Big East. Big win the other night. Keep an eye on the DePaul Blue Demons. All right. Let's get to the Super Bowl. It was a slow first half. The Seahawks pass rush was out of hand. Devin Witherspoon, you remember him from Illinois, the great cornerback for the Seahawks. He had two sacks, I think, in the first quarter, maybe the first half for sure. They were all over Drake May. In the first half, the Patriots had seven punts. And I think the clock ran out to the end of the half. They had a couple first downs in the first half. They looked inept. Now, what's really interesting about the Super Bowl, though, as much as the Patriots were getting dominated, the score at halftime was 9-0 Seahawks. Seahawks were getting down the field. They get close and kick a field goal. It kind of reminded you of the Bears defense all year, where they let teams get downfield, but they'd stop them from getting too deep. I was a little concerned. I'm not a Seahawks fan, but sometimes when I'm watching games, I like to put myself in the role of that fan base or this fan base. And if I was a Seahawks fan at half, while I felt great about how our defense was manhandling the Patriots, 9-0 is way too close. And I don't know if you agree with me, but Tyler, as a Seahawks fan, you're still looking at the Patriots as if they're the old Patriots with Belichick and Brady that can come back from 28-3 against Matt Ryan years ago. But I was like, this is not them, but it still has that aura of the Patriots.
Oh yeah. It's the franchise as a whole, because you know with them getting back here that, oh, they know what they're doing by putting the quarterback, putting the head coach in place. And just like you, I was like, when is this offense going to click with Josh McDaniels being in his like 10th Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Like, he's not a rookie by any means. And Mike McDonald just outclassed them in all facets.
And what you bring up rookie, the rookie offensive tackle, Will Campbell, for the Patriots was getting eaten alive. He looked like a guy out there who had not played a lot of football before. And this guy was a first round draft choice. I think he was fourth pick
number
of the draft.
Number four or number five. Yeah.
He was the guy you bring in to protect Drake May. I mean, it's the kind of guy you want. And he was just getting manhandled. So at halftime, it's 9-0. You kind of call it a boring Super Bowl, but it was boring and close, or slow and close. It's like defensive Super Bowls are not attractive. It's like pitching matchups where it's you know, guys giving up two hits. It's not that attractive. You know, you go to the second half, and it was one of those things where you're just waiting for the Patriots to get a little momentum, and they really didn't do much in the third quarter. Then the fourth quarter, the Patriots get a touchdown. Now the score is, I think it was 19-7, and it's within striking distance. About 10:43 left in the fourth quarter, Patriots get the ball. They are on like a six-play, 40-yard drive. They're just inching down the field. And Drake May on 2nd and 3, about the midfield mark, they're driving in. If they get this touchdown, they can get a touchdown. They cut it to 19-14, and now it's tense. There's a lot of time left in the game. The Patriots would have, you know, within one score, and Seattle would have a little tension on them. And this is what happened next with Drake May.
8:50 to go. Trying to step up and shoot one downfield. It's intercepted. Ill-advised throw in the middle. Julian Love has it. Love 50. Love 40 and out of bounds. At the 36-yard line.
I've got nothing for you here. He's going to drop back. And they're going to have a crossing route in here eventually. But there's just no way that ball was going to be completed. I think it got hit.
No.
And it really wasn't that close to desperation time yet to where you just have to put it in harm's way.
That was with just 10 minutes to go, an ill-advised downfield pass in traffic by Drake May. And you could hear Mike Tirico is basically like, oh, this is basically over. Patriots still had a chance a little while later. And it was just one of those passes on 2nd and 3, you don't need it. And I'm not trying to compare it to the Bears versus the Rams, but on a play where you're just trying to chip downfield, you don't need that. So there it is. The Super Bowl ends up being a bit of a blowout. It's probably closer in theory than it was on the scoreboard, but it's one of those Super Bowls that you probably won't remember a lot about unless you're a Seahawks fan. Now, what this Super Bowl means for a couple different people. What the win means for Seattle, Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold years ago out of USC was a safe pick. Third pick of the draft to the Jets. The Jets just didn't support him, didn't protect him. He was not ready for it. You remember that clip when he was mic'd up, I'm seeing ghosts. It doomed his career. He has a couple subpar seasons with the Jets, moves on. You know, he's on Carolina and bounces around a little bit. Then he ends up with the Vikings. And he ends up with a really good quarterback coach, Kevin O'Connell. And he has a lights out year last year. I think he had 34, 35 touchdowns. Now, what happened at the end of last season, the Vikings were in a situation. Do they keep Sam Darnold and sign him to a 3-year, $110 million deal? Or do they go with their injured rookie, J.J. McCarthy, who they've loved and they drafted, but they're not sure what they get out of him? The last two games of last year, Sam Darnold kind of didn't do much, and they allowed the Vikings to move on. Seattle picks him up this season. Everyone was still wondering, is Sam Darnold going to be a great player? Now that Sam Darnold has a Super Bowl ring that he's responsible for, he wasn't along for the ride. He wasn't great last Sunday, but he was good, especially in the second half. Sam Darnold has exited the bust zone. Clearly, he was in the bust zone early in his career. Now he's out of that. Now he's in the middle of his career. He's got a Super Bowl ring. He's got 2 more years under contract with a really good football team. You don't know where this career could go. You know, is he Joe Flacco with 1 Super Bowl and just a nice player going forward? Or what if he somehow gets a 2nd Super Bowl in the next 3 or 4 years? How would you look at Sam Darnold? Would you look at him like you looked at Eli Manning? Eli Manning has 2 Super Bowls. How do you look at a guy like that? And then what the loss means for New England. Drake May less than a month ago, was considered the best young quarterback in the sport, and I'm including Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams was right there. It might be 1A. But if you go back to August, last August, it was Jaden Daniels was the best young quarterback in the sport. Then this year, Caleb Williams takes over with all his comebacks. But Drake May finished 1 vote away from winning the MVP. But then Drake May has kind of a no-show game. He wasn't supported by his line or his coaching staff. And now I think people look at Drake May of the Patriots as, I'm going to pump the brakes a little on this guy. I'm going to take a look at this guy and see how he recovers next year. So if the worst thing that happened to Drake May is he didn't play well in the Super Bowl, those are good problems to have if you're a Seattle Seahawks fan. The other thing I would say is this. Who had a harder Super Bowl Sunday watching that game? Jets fans and Jets management, knowing they had Sam Darnold under contract years ago? Or Vikings fans and Vikings management who moved on from a really good Sam Darnold last year? I think it was kind of a little bit of both. All right, this is Tailgate. Paul Papps here with Tyler Farengol, 104.3 The Score. We're here all day. Coming up, we're going to take your calls, get to a lot of different things. But there are a few different things to look at if you look at that 2024 quarterback draft class. Caleb Williams, 1. Jaden Daniels, 2. Drake May, 3. Bo Nix is next. J.J. McCarthy and Michael Penix. And these guys are kind of like this, like a stock. And depending on how you look at these guys from different times, it's a different situation. Again, if I said 6 months ago, if you could start your team with any quarterback under 25 years old, everybody would have gone with Jaden Daniels at the Commanders. Just about everybody. Maybe not Bears fans. Caleb Williams would have been at about 3-4 weeks ago. It would now be Caleb Williams and Drake May. A lot of people like Bo Nix. He's a little bit older, experienced, good player. He gets hurt. The Broncos don't go on in the playoffs, but imagine if he doesn't hurt his ankle. That guy was rolling this year. Then you look at J.J. McCarthy. J.J. McCarthy, really good player out of Michigan. Big arm. A lot of arm. Kind of reminds him of Aaron Rodgers at the same age with his strength. But he's just not getting it done. Injuries, playing okay. It's going to be really interesting to see what the Vikings do going forward, because I don't know if the Vikings are going to start J.J. McCarthy at the start of next year. I would bet against it, or at least bring in competition. Then Michael Penix, good quarterback in college, played at Indiana and Washington. Now he's at Atlanta. They're going to move on probably from Kirk Cousins. It's going to be his squad. He's got to stay healthy. I mean, it's a real problem with him staying healthy. All right, post-Super Bowl, a lot to get to, but whenever a team wins a Super Bowl, like the Seahawks, other teams like to model themselves after this team. Like, what are they doing? How can we model that? I don't look at the Seahawks are modeled with a good quarterback and great everywhere else. They actually spend more than anybody on special teams, their punter and kicker. But I don't know if the Bears are anywhere like the Seahawks or anywhere modeled after the Seahawks. The Bears are based off having a playmaking clutch quarterback. Darnold's a good quarterback with a competitive team around him, with a stellar defense. The Bears are more of an incomplete roster, a defense that bends a lot and lives off turnovers, unlike Seattle. Seattle's a defense that smothers you. It's the kind of defense the Bears would love. Seattle has a silly good pass rushing team, one good running back, actually two good running backs when Zach Charbonnet is healthy. The Bears are searching for a consistent pass rush. And in the offseason, and we're going to get to that in a few minutes, that has to be the biggest priority for the Bears. What will they do in the offseason? What can they do in the offseason? Because a weird problem the Bears have is they're not picking in the top 15. They're not picking in the top 10. They're not picking in the top 5, as they've done a few times, even with the trades that they made. The Bears, I think, are picking 25th, right? Is that right?
Yeah, I was going to say, too, I said this the other day, it feels weird now being in a spot where we're not talking about the number one pick or like a top 10 pick. It's like, oh, 25th.
This is the best problem in the world to have, Bears fans. If you're not picking in the first 2 hours of day one of the NFL draft, that means your team's good. I don't want to be relevant on draft week. I want to be relevant the rest of the year, but hopefully Ryan Poles can put something together. All right, we got a lot to get to. Ooh, the phone lines are lighting up, but there's a lot coming up. We're also going to do our NFL awards. Now, we did Bears awards a couple weeks ago in this show. And with my snarky self, I'm Paul Papps, 104.3 The Score, this is the tailgate. We're going to get a little snarky with our NFL awards. Some are mean-spirited, some are nice, some are not, a little bit of each. But I think the really big topic here in Chicago with the Bears now is a lot about the stadium. A lot about the offseason, but a lot about the other teams in town. It's weird to go into an offseason as Bears fans with truckloads of hope. I mean, if you compare it to last year at this time, if I said in August that the Bears would face the Rams in the second round of the playoffs, you'd be like, sign me up. Sign me up. Tyler, do you have my Bears prediction from August?
Oh, I sure do. Would you like to listen back to that?
I don't think this is going to be good for me. Go ahead, hit it.
Now my Bears prediction for the season. Man, I've been grinding on this one because I know I'm going to catch some heat. I think the Bears' final record this season will be 9-8. 9-8, and they'll just miss the playoffs. It's not so much about them. It's about the division. That's what you say when you break up with someone. It's not you. It's me. I think the Bears' record will be 9-8, and if it's a good 9-8, I'll take it.
Cut it. It's ugly.
And if they're close to if they're playing for playoff spots with 2 weeks left in the season, that's a win. I know.
I had to cut it. That's so bad. I think I was trying to not be too hopeful about the Bears at that point.
Can I make you feel better, though?
Yeah.
About actually both the Bears and the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
I'll say for my Super Bowl pick, I had Bills over Bucks.
Okay.
So, got the AFC team right, and then the NFC team didn't even make the playoffs.
I love the Bucks in October. I thought the Bucks were on the way to the Super Bowl.
And I'll double down on that. I had Baker Mayfield winning MVP.
I may have had that, too.
And then Bears, we were the exact same. 9-8, and I said just missing the playoffs.
Now, my Bears pick of 9-8 back then was more about being optimistically cautious. I'm not one of those guys that Bears are going to the Super Bowl, you know, immediately as soon as they get Caleb Williams or as soon as they get Colston Loveland. And I've always been a little bit more cautious. I expected more of the Packers when they get Micah Parsons. I expected much more of the Lions. All right, coming up, much more on the Super Bowl, the Bears offseason, and the Bears stadium situation. But it's time for your calls. Phone lines are open, 312-644-6767. All that's next. This is the tailgate, 104.3 The Score.
Fantasy football season is back, baby. Matthew Berry here, and my podcast, Fantasy Football Happy Hour, has the sleepers, busts, and starts and advice you need to win your league. So listen and follow Fantasy Football Happy Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back with more of The Tailgate with Paul Pabst.
I love football. Love it. Love it.
On 104.3, The Score, and live on the Odyssey app.
Back on The Tailgate, getting you ready for no football this weekend. What do we do? Can the Cubs and Sox start playing today, please? If you ever been out to spring training, I've been to both Sox and Cubs spring training. What a treat that is. Players go out there, talk to the kids, sign autographs, take pictures. The weather's perfect. If you could ever get out to spring training, Cubs or Sox, please do it. All right, phone lines are open, 312-644, and loaded up, 6767. Tyler Farringall and I, Paul Pabst here, getting you through the weekend, getting you ready for Bears off season. I do want to say one thing before we go to the phones. My Super Bowl Sunday was a bit shaky. I come home. We were out there for a week in San Francisco with the Dan Patrick Show. Had a lot of fun. We come home. We don't go to the game, usually. We go to a couple. Humble brag. But we did come home, and on Super Bowl Sunday, my wife and I decided, and a couple friends decided, to go to our local pub, nice little local pub, to just watch maybe a little pregame and then the first quarter, and then bolt back home and get set up in front of the big screen TV. We get to the pub. It's about 30 minutes before kickoff. Tyler, you got to hear this one. And there's only about 20 people in the pub. It hasn't gotten full up yet with people watching the Super Bowl. And there's about 8 TVs. But the music is on. It was like Gordon Lightfoot or some type of light rock from the 70s. And all the TVs have the Super Bowl on. But now they're starting to do like the flyover and the anthem and America the Beautiful and all that stuff. And I look over to the bartender and I look over to the guy. I go, is he the manager? And she goes, yeah. I go to the manager, go, hey, do you mind putting the sound up here? And everyone's really into the game. I said very politely. He goes, yeah, we'll put it up during kickoff. He goes, yeah, no one really wants it now. And I'm like, I think everybody wants to hear the national anthem and all the stuff that's going on in the pregame festivities. And we had a bit of a stare down, and I held my ground, and Tyler would be proud to know I got the sound on for the entire bar. I wouldn't use the word hero, but you can if you want to. You can use that word.
It's the little things that matter sometimes.
Yeah, and the people next to me, there's a couple of bros next to me with their hats on backwards, and they said, nice job, dude, which I think means I did a good job. All right, Paul Pabst here, 104.3 The Score. Let's get to the calls. Your question about the Bears, the NFC North, the offseason, whatever it may be. Let's go to Matt in Glenwood. Matt, what do you have for me?
Hey, good morning, Paul. How you doing?
Good, bud.
I am wondering, who is the second best team in the NFC? Of course, assuming the Bears are the best.
Ooh, a nice, direct, simple question. Thank you, Matt. I would say if you predict the NFC North right now, before offseason draft, and I still would pick the Bears by a hair over the Green Bay Packers. Packers have a lot of talent. You're going to have Micah Parsons back next year. Jordan Love's still a good quarterback. I don't think he's a great quarterback, by the way. We can get into that. I get into it with Packers fans. I'm like, do you think he's great? I think he's really good and under optimal conditions. The Vikings, I think, are a total wild card. And the Lions, man, I don't know if they missed their window. They've got a lot of talent on the team. I would never count them out. But that's a team where I'm like, what are they doing? Can they reset it in the offseason? Can they take advantage of this window with Amon-Ra St. Brown, with Jared Goff, with Jahmyr Gibbs, David Montgomery, the other running back, Penei Sewell? I mean, I can go down the line. Aiden Hutchinson, they're a loaded up team. They should not miss the playoffs. And the Bears next year, I think, is going to be interesting. Much tougher schedule, as we all know. No one's going to be surprised by these fourth quarter comebacks next year. It's going to be quite a bit tougher. Thanks for the call, Matt. All right, let's go to Mike in Northbrook. Mike, what do you got for me, bud? Oh, okay, we lost Mike. Mike in Northbrook. But, you know, that's a bit of a thing. I just think that if you look at the offseason, you can't make any picks right now. You can't do anything quite yet. All right, let's go one more call. Line 3. We're going, Mike, what do you have? Oh, we lost him. Herm. The guy's name is Herm in Northbrook. All right. Just Herm. It's like Cher. Herm, what do you have for me?
No, it's Herm in Plainfield. What's up, Paulie?
Hey, bud.
Love the show. My question is pretty simple. With free agency, who would you like to see the Bears try to keep, and who would you like to see them go out and get?
Oh, man.
Thanks for your response. I'll listen, and go Salukis.
Yeah, Herm in Plainfield. Yeah, go Salukis. I'm with you, buddy. Man, that's a big question. Who do I think the Bears can keep? Who do I think they get rid of? I'll start with who they can go after. Defensive tackles, defensive ends, and they don't have to be superstars. Believe me, I would love Max Crosby or Myles Garrett, but I think that you have to give up a ton of draft capital for them. Max Crosby from the star defensive end for the Raiders is quite interesting because he appears to want out, if you believe the stories, and I can understand it. And if I'm the Raiders, I trade Max Crosby. You are trying to rebuild your team and surround your young quarterback with this. We have a terrible offensive line. Remember Bryce Young a few years ago with Carolina when they traded everybody to the Bears? If I would trade Max Crosby, should the Bears go for him, I would consider it. Draft capital. Draft capitals are a bunch of maybes. Max Crosby's a sure thing. Who the Bears should get? I'll throw out a name. There's a guy named Al-Kadim Muhammad. He's an edge rusher with the Lions. He's a rotation player. He had like 10 or 11 sacks this year. He will not make Bears fans go crazy. Like, oh, who is this guy? A solid player for the Lions. But remember last year with Drew Dalman? You know, how excited were you may get? So keep an eye on guys like that. Who are they going to keep? This is really tough. The free agency list for the Bears right now is Kevin Byard, safety, Jaquan Brisker, safety, and Deshaun Wright. You can't keep everybody. You hope to keep two of those three. And I expect the Bears to draft a safety at some point in the draft for depth because they're probably going to lose one of those. And again, it's like you want to keep these guys with your heart, but it's a checkbook. Kevin Byard had a great season, but he's in the back half of his career. Jaquan Brisker had a very good season, but he's had some issues before staying on the field. Deshaun Wright, very good player. Did he have a great season and will he be consistent? Or was this one of those years where he had a truckload of takeaways and he might just be a good defensive back? I'm not calling that, but you can't keep everybody. You can't spend on everybody. And here's why. Because in about a year and 2 months from now, you're going to have to pay Caleb Williams $300 million. Pause. $300 million. 5 years, $300 million. What happens in the NFL, if you're a great quarterback, after year three, you get the big contract. Joe Burrow got it. Justin Herbert got it. Josh Allen got it. Patrick Mahomes got it. Your goal, weirdly, when you draft a quarterback in the top 10 of the draft, is to get him to his second contract as fast as possible. And the Bears, I'm assuming anyone listening out there completely believes in Caleb Williams. If you don't, where are you at now? I mean, where have you been? And what are you waiting for? But let's say Caleb Williams has a really good season next year and the Bears make the playoffs again next year. The Bears will be on deck to pay him $300 million, $55 million a year. And now the whole team will be completely different because of the quarterback pay. Go back 12, 13 years ago. Russell Wilson wasn't getting paid very much. Then he gets the big contract. And the Legion of Boom, they had to let some of those guys go. All right, one more call. Bob from the South Side. I like that already. Bob from the South Side. Boy, are we looking at Beverly, Chicago Heights? Where are we at, Bob?
How you doing, Paul? I actually said North Side, but that's all right. Yeah. We're all one big happy city when it comes to the Bears. But, you know, the Bears have become the it team in the NFL by far. I don't think that there's even a question. And these network executives are going crazy as to who's going to get the Bear games next year. They're going to max out at five, I'm sure of it, right, which is for the solo games. And I would bet right now that they lead off the season with Seattle in the Thursday night game. They have become like they've taken over. It reminds me a little of 85, but now with social media and the rest of it, I mean, the buzz of the NFL is the Chicago Bears, which is just thrilling to see. I'm really happy about it.
Thanks for the call, Bob. And you're 100% right. The Bears are hot. And I'm not saying that because we're here, I'm a Bears guy, whatever it be. Facts are facts. The NFL wants the Bears. They dine out on the ratings from the Bears. I wouldn't be surprised at all if it's Seahawks-Bears to open the season next year. Bears will have five national TV games next year. They had a bunch this year. They flexed into a Packers game this year. The NFL doesn't pick favorites. They pick ratings. The Bears equal ratings. They're a national TV team. Ben Johnson's interesting. Caleb Williams is very interesting. And they've got a lot of other likable players on that team. All right. 670 score, 104.3 the score. This is the tailgate. A couple more things to get to. Ryan Poles had a great offseason last year. If we were doing the most valuable person on the Bears in the past calendar years, it might be Poles. And it's interesting because a year ago at this time, some people wanted him gone. But let's go back to last year. And I listened to Brad Biggs talk about the draft the other day, and he's like, don't worry about the position. Get a guy who can make an impact. And you go back to Colston Loveland last year. Was that a position you needed to address? Not necessarily. But Colston Loveland has had an unbelievably fantastic rookie year. Now, the Bears last season, the big offseason thing was the offensive line. After you get Ben Johnson, the task was fix the offensive line. They got Joe Tooney, who just won Protector of the Year, a new award, by the way. I don't know if you knew about this. And then they got Drew Dalman and Jonah Jackson. The interior of your offensive line is completely set. Darnell Wright had a very good year. That draft pick is working out fantastic. When they redid the offensive line, when Ryan Poles redid the offensive line last March, it opened things up in the 2025 draft and allowed them to take Loveland, allowed them to take Burden, Luxury Adams. If they didn't get those guys, it would have been mandatory take offensive linemen who need to develop. And the Bears offseason, a lot to get to. But let's get to it. I know you're excited about this. Our first ever NFL awards. Are you ready, Tyler? Are you ready for this? Do we have custom music?
I am ready. Let's do it.
Very exciting. The snarky 104.3 tailgate with Paul Pabst, NFL awards. The MVP of the league. This is a simple one and not surprising in any way. It is Matthew Stafford. I tried to find someone else. I tried to find a non-quarterback. He had 46 touchdowns. Last year at this time, Matthew Stafford and the Rams, they weren't sure about his status. Shoulder issues, age, not necessarily in that order. He lit it up this year. Did he have a lot of help? Yeah. Puka Nacua is fantastic. Crazy hands. Good offense, good offensive line, good running back. Your MVP is clearly Matthew Stafford. There's a guy who was on the Lions 7 years ago and struggling. Now he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. The MVP that isn't a quarterback, wide receiver Jackson Smith and Jigba, 1,800 yards for the Seahawks. He made Sam Darnold look great. And Sam Darnold is good, maybe not great. JSN, here we go, Tyler. This is a little ugly and a little snarky. The least valuable player in the NFL this year. If there's a most, there's got to be a least. Geno Smith, the quarterback of the Raiders. You brought him in. You paid him money. The Seahawks fans didn't want him to go. He threw 19 touchdowns. That's not bad. Unfortunately, he threw 17 interceptions. He's a sharer. He likes to share. They were awful. Now, the good news is that they have the number one pick of the draft and can revamp their franchise. But Geno Smith, by the way, under contract for like $30 million next year. LVP.
Man, how do you get out of that?
You basically have to just sit. He will sit, and Fernando Mendoza will play next year. Hopefully not too soon. Rookie of the year. As much as I want to put a Bears player on it, the Bears had the rookies of the year. I looked at Pro Football Focus. They said the Bears had the most impactful draft class with Burden, Manungai, and Loveland. Manungai, what a steal in the seventh round. Rutgers running backs. The rookie of the year for me is quarterback Jackson Dart of the Giants, the New York Giants. They found their quarterback, and they didn't have to get him in the top 10 of the draft. The one issue with Jackson Dart, he takes too many hits. His dad played defensive back at Utah. He raised him to be a quarterback, but he was raised by a defensive back who was a hard hitter. Jackson Dart has to avoid hits because he was in the blue tent a lot this year. I want you in the end zone, not in the blue tent. Most surprising team. Tailgate awards. The Jacksonville Jaguars. Trevor Lawrence at this time last year, we were worried about his career and his shoulder. In that order. Liam Cohen, their new coach, was this kind of goofy guy that they brought in. He was Duval. Remember at the press conference? Who is this guy? Fantastic season by the Jaguars. They're trending upwards. Most disappointing team. The Detroit Lions. They lost their offensive coordinator. They lost their defensive coordinator. But they didn't lose their roster. And somehow their roster found a way to not make the playoffs when people thought they'd be in the Super Bowl. Frustrating if you're a Lions fan. Most underrated player in the league. Man, I wanted to give this to Kevin Byard of the Bears. Kevin Byard is not on the national radar. People don't talk about him. No offense, just how it goes. He is a fantastic all-pro safety that carried the Bears' defense at times in certain games last year. He's going to finish second for my most underrated player. Nick Benito, 14 sacks to the Broncos. He could walk down the street in Chicago right now in full uniform and no one would say hi to him. He's not famous, but he's a fantastic player. Teams with the biggest issue awards. This is not an award you want to win, Ty. You do not want to win this award. The Miami Dolphins with Tua. Their quarterback, Tua Tagovailoa, he's owed $55 million next year, and they don't want to start him anymore. They owe him a lot of money, and they don't love him. The Vikings have a big issue. J.J. McCarthy, injured, throws a lot of fastballs, not the best aim in the world. And they may bring back Kirk Cousins or Mac Jones or someone like that and take a look at something else there. And then the Browns. I think the Browns, and I'm not doing this for clicks, are making a mistake with pushing the Shedeur Sanders for our starter thing. I don't think this is going to work out. I think he's a decent player. They don't have a great team around him. They have a very good defense. Bring this back next year if he makes a Pro Bowl, Tyler. All right. Best uniforms in the league award. Someone's got to do this.
Do throwbacks count?
No. Great question by you. They do not count. Your normal uniforms. I'm taking the Chargers off the board because their uniforms are too good. My best uniforms in the league are the 49ers. They're consistent. They pop. It's weird because those two colors are kind of odd to go together. But man, in the sunshine, the Niners, I love their uniforms. Second place is Steelers. Classic, tough. They kind of remind me of Marian Catholic from the South Side. My high school, same uniforms. Worst uniforms in the league. The Atlanta Falcons uniforms. They are bland and uninspired. Like the Falcons, bland and uninspired. They look like they're a digital clock, like a Casio watch from the 80s. You don't remember that, Tyler.
Do you know the Falcons are getting new uniforms this year?
Yes. We talked to Matt Ryan, and we talked to their coach, Kevin Stefanski, on the Dan Patrick Show last week. We asked Stefanski, do you have uniform approval? He goes, I'll check. I hope he does.
The number fonts on those are just ugly.
Ugly. They look like you're blurry-eyed or something like that. They're uninspired.
I like the Matt Ryan era jerseys.
Yeah, or you go back to the William Andrews, Steve Bartkowski early 80s, and you clean it all up with pure throwbacks.
Like the Dirty Bird era?
Yep. Commanders uniforms, way too busy. Good team, bad uniforms. There's all these markings all over, and their stripes don't really work. Don't like the Commanders. Another bad uniform, but a good team, the Philadelphia Eagles. They have this dark, murky green. Doesn't really blend. Doesn't have any contrast. Who's else is breaking this down on the national radio TV show? The Eagles uniforms are terrible. They got to bring back the old Kelly green. Two more things. The worst situation in the NFL award. Again, we'll bring in the Cleveland Browns. They seem to win this yearly. Remember Deshaun Watson, the quarterback they traded for and paid $240 million guaranteed? He doesn't even really play for them anymore. He was declared healthy at the end of last season, and they didn't practice him or play him. He's like a healthy scratch, if you remember basketball back in the day. Deshaun Watson, the quarterback on the Browns, is going to make $46 million a year next year to not play football. Think about that for a second. What a mistake. And they let Baker Mayfield go for that guy. The NFL's biggest problem award. This is the league. Transparency with the refs and reviews. That Bills-Broncos playoff game with that strip interception, was it reviewed? Was it not? The NFL should consider going to a review system where we could listen to what's being talked about in the booth. The ACC football does this. Transparency. There is so much gambling and talk. We have to see what the NFL is reviewing and do it every time. That is the first ever. Okay, last award. The play of the year in the NFL award. The potty, as we're calling it, Tyler. The POTY. The play of the year in the NFL. You may remember this one. It might sound good. I think it's my ringtone. Tyler, can you hit it? Play of the year.
The fake. Williams looking downfield. Watching downfield. Going for it all. It is caught. Bears win it. DJ Moore.
They go for the jugular. DJ Moore on the full field post. Off play action. Nixon, an absolutely 10 out of 10 A-plus throw. He knew it when he let it go.
There it is. That's the potty, the play of the year in the NFL. Up next, we got three and out. A little more on the Super Bowl, a little more on the Bears offseason. This is The Tailgate. I'm Paul Pabst, 104.3 FM.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
The Score.
We're back with more of The Tailgate with Paul Pabst.
You're supposed to be a professional.
We'll work harder than anybody to win. But man, when we're dead tired in the fourth quarter, winning's got to be more than just money.
They're hired to do a job.
Job! Job! I don't want no job. I want to play football. I want some feeling. I want some team spirit.
This ain't no high school. You don't have to love each other to play.
It's just what I mean, you bastard. Every time I call it a game, you call it a business. And every time I call it a business, you call it a game.
On 104.3, The Score. And live on the Odyssey app.
Back on The Score, this is The Tailgate. Paul Pabst, Tyler Farringall, keeping you going. Football offseason is here, but football is year-round. Watching in a pub last night, where was that? Cody's on in Lakeview. My wife looks at me, we're watching the Olympics on TV, and she goes, what is that sport? It was biathlon. It's basically cross-country skiing and shooting. She goes, that's a sport? I'm like, really? You've never seen biathlon before? I'd be great at the shooting part. Not so much on the cardio and the cross-country skiing part. All right, this is 104.3 The Score. A lot to get to today. We'll talk a little bit more about the Bears offseason. I do want to do a minute or two here on the Bears stadium issues. Don't turn the channel. The Bears stadium issues. As a person who goes to about two Bear games a year, and I still historically love Soldier Field, I'm completely aware of the challenges of Soldier Field with like how to get there, the amenities, all that stuff. It's never bothered me. I go to football games to watch football and not eat sushi. I don't really care about how many craft beer choices there are in a pub where I can't watch the game at a football stadium. Seems like everybody wants that these days. I don't need a casino attached to my football stadium or a hotel. Now, I am old school. I'm not sure how many Bears fans agree with me. I would love for the Bears, which they will never do, to do a fan poll and start with season ticket holders and hardcore fans and say, what would the fans want? Would you like a stadium? Keep the stadium right where it is and add to it, make improvements. And what improvements would you want to Soldier Field? What can you do with the park district and the limitations? Would you want something in Arlington Heights that's glass covered, very little, you know, no weather, with all the amenities at the new stadium, with all the things around there and a rail system to get there? Or would you want to go to Northwest Indiana and people on the south side of Chicago and the south suburbs may like that? You know, there's not a lot down there. I would love for the Bears, and they will never do so. I'd love for Kevin Warren and the PR team to say, what would the fans want? Because what the fans want doesn't always match what the business of the sport. And that's what this is for the Bears. It's business. It's not about fan experience, in my opinion. Now, the Indiana situation. About a month, 6 weeks ago, the Indiana governor and other people in Indiana, when the Bears were in the mix for the stuff at Arlington Heights, they threw it out there. I've been trying to get the Indiana governor on this show for about 6 weeks. He was all set to come on 5 weeks ago. All set. And then all of a sudden, they're like, oh, let's hold up a little bit. Let's see how this plays out. I've talked to different people about this locally, and I still can't tell whether Indiana is being used or Indiana is real. From the Indiana standpoint with the stadium issue, they're trying to get a stadium with the Bears and revamp the northwest area of the state. But I still don't know if the Bears are using this to just make Illinois step up more, Arlington Heights step up more. I can't tell. It's hard to tell. We're going to find out pretty soon. I still think in 2 years from now, 3 years from now, I would bet 3 years from now the Bears are still playing. 4 years from now, still playing at Soldier Field. This is a bit of a quagmire, and it's still going on. All right, let's get to it. A few minutes left. Paul Papps here, 670 The Score, 104.3 FM The Score. This is the tailgate. Let's get to three and out. Tyler, you have three football questions I haven't seen before, heard before. Can't see questions. Hit me.
I was thinking of them on the way in, and here we go. Question number one. I think you just touched on one earlier in the last segment, but what were your top three most memorable moments from the 2025 Bears season?
Wow. Moments. The Colston Loveland catch and touchdown against the Bengals. I think it's a little underrated. It was kind of mid-season. He banged off the two defenders and rumbled in the end zone. I love that one. It was his breakout game, and it was a loss that became a win. The DJ Moore catch is obvious. The other Caleb pass where he rolled left and threw it to Odunze, of course, that's up there. You almost have to take them off the board. I don't know if this is a moment, but when the Bears went in for the last touchdown, I think Manungai ran in for 4 yards out against the Eagles the day after Thanksgiving, and I checked the stats, and they were at 281 rushing yards against the defending Super Bowl champs. I don't know if that's exactly a moment, but that's like, oh, we have a team here. We've got a running back and an offensive line. So those are a couple moments that stand out. But my number one would be just to go off the board, the Deshaun Wright strip on the Jalen Hurts.
The tush push.
The tush push. He found a way to stop that play by stripping him. That's, a sneaky one. All right. Now, question two.
I love all those. Great season, by the way, for the Bears.
Yes, well said.
Out of the 10 NFL head coaching hires, what were your top three favorite hires and top three least favorite hires?
Oh, man, you're going to chop it up. I'm going to start with number one, the Giants hiring John Harbaugh. I think that's an upgrade for the franchise, a stable guy. And they don't want a lot of turnover. They have turnover. That's the one that stands out to me. There's not a Ben Johnson this year. There is not a superstar guy where you're like, that guy will revamp this team, restore this team. So I don't get too into the coaching hires as far as sometimes the more famous they are, we think it's better, but not necessarily so. Like there's some guys who got coaching jobs like Clint Kubiak. He just won a Super Bowl with the Seahawks and now he's with the Raiders. Now, because he just won the Super Bowl, we think he's going to be awesome. We know nothing about the guy. All right, third question.
I respect it. I think you can tell by now, Paul, that I'm really into the head coaching stuff.
You are.
That's why I always try to gauge. I like to see what other people think
of
that.
You nerd out on that.
I very much nerd out on that.
Well, but I think it's a great topic because when the Seahawks a couple years ago brought in Mike McDonald, nobody knew who he was.
Yeah.
Quiet, soft-spoken. He looks kind of jacked. He looks like he played some ball. but he was a soft-spoken guy. And I remember at the press conference, like, who is this guy? He doesn't seem very enthusiastic. I'm not very enthusiastic about this hire. Winning the press conference and winning games is two different things. Ben Johnson did both. Ben Johnson won the press conference when he was hired, but then he won games. You rarely get both of those. All right, next question.
Absolutely. What is your biggest or boldest NFL free agency prediction of 2026? That's a tough one.
It is. I would love to do it. Aaron Rodgers to the Vikings. 1 year left. I could see him wanting to do it. Man, if I could see them making a play for Aaron Rodgers, the Vikings, for a one-year deal. It's a one-year deal. See what happens. Good team, good quarterback coach. That would be aggressive by them. The Steelers have to move on at quarterback at some point and restore that team. I think the Steelers will go for like a Mac Jones, someone in his prime, if he has a prime, and get someone like that. There it is, three and out. What a season. Paul Papps here, 670 score, 104.3 the score to the tailgate. Great to be on all season. Great to do the tailgate. Thanks to Mitch and Ryan all year and all the guests. Thanks to the Bears for providing all the guests this year. Really nice of them. The 2026 Bears, will be back for that. They have expectations and they have pressure. Enjoy that. It's been a long time since you've had both. Pressure to make the playoffs. It's just been a great season. Rarely did we get a comfortable, boring win. It was all seat of your pants with the 2025 Bears. This is the tailgate. We'll be back next fall for college, NFL, and Bears season. I'll talk to you here and there on the score during the spring and the summer. Can't wait for Cubs baseball. Take care. It's been fun. I'm Paul Papps. This is The Score.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.